Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul back with you. Hope your Friday is going well. All of us have the right, the obligation to vote. A lot of blood shed for that ability to make our voices heard and translate those into votes and ultimately policy. H.R. 1, the For the People Act, a landmark anti-corruption, voter protection, and campaign finance reform package, passed the U.S. House late Wednesday. It restores the protections of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which was gutted back in 2013 by the Supreme Court Shelby County versus Holder decision. Representative Dean Phillips sponsored a bill, the Voter Notice Act, which was included in H.R. 1, and Representative Phillips joins us today on CCO. Welcome back, Dean.
Good to be with you, Paul.
Thank you. Really glad to have you here. I know you've had a crazy busy week. Can you explain to listeners why you drafted this legislation?
Sure, Paul. I participated in drafting the legislation because over the course of running for office and now serving for a little over 2 years in office, I spend a disproportionate amount of my time listening. And people, Americans, voters, are fed up with big money in politics, fed up with being disenfranchised. Some now believe our electoral system lacks integrity. I think it's fair to say, no matter your politics, if there was ever a time in recent American history to address Americans' ebbing faith in government and the electoral system, it's right now. And H.R. 1, Paul, when you really boil it down to the basics, it makes voting easier, not harder. It cleans up our elections, makes them more fair. It reduces the corrupting influence of big money in our politics. And perhaps equally importantly right now, in light of what we saw the previous administration it enhances our ethics laws so that public servants work for the public interest, not their personal interest. It's long overdue, Paul. I'm really surprised that it is not more bipartisan, but that's something we can talk about. At the end of the day, it's, to me, one of the most important pieces of legislation in recent memory, and certainly one of the most important bills on which I've participated.
Representative Phillips, I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what's really going on here, just trying to, you know, cut through some of the invective on both sides of the aisle. I heard an attorney for the Republican Party in Arizona addressing the Supreme Court on Tuesday of this week that a measure making it easier to vote for some residents in Arizona, quote, puts us at a competitive disadvantage relative to Democrats. Politics is a zero-sum game, he said. Republicans have voiced concern about election integrity. I think most adults may share some level of concern about fraud and election integrity. Is this really about voter fraud, or is this about demographic shifts in the United States that could, in theory, put the GOP at a perpetual disadvantage?
Well, Paul, I think it's more of the latter than the former. Clearly, the Republican Party feels somehow it would disadvantage them, but not because of good practices or fulfilling our obligation to the Constitution, simply because right now, in too many GOP-controlled states, Paul, there are initiatives to make it harder to vote. That's why we have to bring back the Voting Rights Act in its entirety. honor John Lewis, who, of course, we all miss. I can't help but think at the core of all of us, no matter your politics, that if we really want to realize the beauty of our democratic republic, that means we should be a nation that makes it easier for legal voting, plain and simple. But there are about 250 initiatives as we speak at this moment, Paul, in states around the country to make it harder to vote. And I think, unfortunately, my GOP colleagues will have to answer for that. As for fraud, I've spent a lot of time investigating the claims of fraud, the big lie. And frankly, Paul, I'm yet to find any evidence in any recent elections in our history of any wide-scale fraud that would have changed the outcome of elections. And that is truth. Unfortunately, there are many who find it personally productive and in the spirit of their own self-preservation, perhaps, to perpetuate these lies. But they're dangerous. And H.R. 1 is a very thoughtful, well-conceived, well-deliberated effort to make it more fair. And when I say fair, not just this is not about politics. This is about people. Right now, big interests, special interests, have extraordinary influence on members of Congress. Paul, you know I'm the only one in Congress, 535 people, that takes no money from a political action committee, PACs, corporate, union, otherwise. I take no money from federal lobbyists. And I don't even take money from fellow members of Congress, because to me that's corrupting as well. H.R. 1 actually empowers smaller dollar donors, a 6-to-1 match, not with tax dollars, with excise surcharge on criminal and civil penalties, so it's up to $200. So if you want to compete with the big interests, this is a thoughtful solution to equal the playing field and re-inspire people to be participants in our democracy and not disenfranchise people. And let me say one more thing about the adage that it helps Democrats. You know, the fact of the matter is, in some of our biggest turnout elections in recent memory, Donald Trump was elected in 2016. This notion that turnout only benefits Democrats, first of all, I don't think is fair. And at the end of the day, this is not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about Americans. And right now, it's too hard for too many to vote. We're lucky in Minnesota. Many of us don't even understand how disenfranchised by design so many of our fellow Americans are in so many states. And absent thoughtful leadership in those states to rectify it, we have to take action at the federal level, and that's a responsibility.
Dean, the Senate is beginning debate on this $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, a little argument that way too many Americans are still in bad shape. Many businesses, small businesses, in bad shape. The American Rescue Plan is popular. I saw a recent poll, 77% of Americans support the bill, including 59% of Republicans. It's one of the most popular pieces of major legislation in American history. The GOP is rejecting it outright. My question, does government have a big role to play in regulating business, providing a basic social safety net, and promoting infrastructure? How much of that should be left to business, to the markets, to solve these problems? Is that what's really going on, a fundamental difference of opinion over the role and the power of government?
Paul, it's a great question. And by the way, that's a thoughtful conversation we should all be having right now. What is the role of government? Federal government, state government, local government? What is the role of the private sector, our companies, our philanthropists, individuals who give? The beauty of America is that we tend to work together on these initiatives. Your point about the COVID relief bill, one of the most significant, cross-party levels of support I've seen in my service in Congress so far. By the way, H.R. 1 is close behind. But your question is a really important one, because I think COVID-19, the last year, has so laid bare some of the inequities in our country, some of the injustice, in so many categories. And we're going to have a national conversation about what kind of America do we want to be. I happen to believe that we should be working towards guaranteeing equal opportunities for everybody, no matter your race or religion or geography or zip code or from where you come. Now, can we guarantee outcomes? No, we can't. But that's where we need a safety net to help those who are unable to help themselves, and to ensure that our society as a whole is moving forward together. And if you read human history, The democracies that have failed have often failed, many scholars argue, because of growing inequities. And if we don't at least acknowledge those and find some ways to reform into a more compassionate capitalist country, to ensure that everybody in America has a chance, because that is the great promise of our country, that should be a unifying statement. Democrats don't have all the ideas. Republicans have some good ideas. Democrats have ideas. Everybody has ideas. And my invitation to everybody listening is to start sharing those, because that, to me, could be the great moonshot, if you will, going back to JFK's challenge to our country. Let's challenge ourselves to be the America that we all aspire to be, in which there's more prosperity, more equality, and more justice for everybody. That's my prerogative, and I invite people to join us.
Dean, one more question, and trying to prevent my head from exploding. When I read about reconciliation versus, you know, doing away with the filibuster, is this $1.9 trillion relief bill ultimately going to pass? I mean, it's 50-50 in the Senate. Can you just give kind of a Cliff's Notes version of what you think might play out in the days and weeks ahead? There's some urgency with people losing unemployment protection here by mid-month, correct?
Yes, and that's why it is urgent. And it's a lot of money. It makes me uncomfortable because we already have a significant national debt that is growing considerably, approaching $30 trillion. It consumes almost $500 billion a year in interest on that debt and our debt service. It's something we're going to have to attend to after this, but the time to penny pinch is not right now. To answer your question, it will pass. Reconciliation is simply a mechanism, Paul, in Congress that only requires a simple majority in the Senate. Otherwise, most legislation requires 60 votes. Our founders members of Congress through history recognized that we wanted a system to make change difficult. Unfortunately, I think it works too well sometimes. And in the absence of principled leadership willing to sit down, negotiate, discuss, debate, deliberate, and come together, we have nothing but obstruction. And I think the facts would support my contention. So that's why methods like reconciliation, which, by the way, is the same mechanism that was used by the Republican Party in 2017 to pass the tax bill.
Right.
The same mechanism is now being used to pass a national support bill because of the effects of COVID-19. And in the absence of the willingness of those across the aisle to participate in negotiating in good faith, unfortunately, sometimes I think we are required to pursue this path. The good news is the Senate is modifying it, negotiating it a little bit right now. I think it'll be an improved package by the time it moves through. But we live in an era of political warfare, a political industrial complex that only rewards obstruction and defeating the other party. And I'm tired of it. That's why I ran for Congress. And I hope our fellow Minnesotans join me in calling for our better angels to come to the table, sit together, just like we do at the Problem Solvers Caucus, Paul, as you well know, 29 Democrats, 29 Republicans, the best time of my week spent with my friends and colleagues from whom I learn, who I respect, I sometimes disagree with, but we're doing what we are supposed to, which is debate, deliberate, and come together. And it's that spirit that I'm going to continue to press forward with.
Representative Dean Phillips, thanks for joining us today on CCO. Wish you the best going forward.
Thank you, Paul. Keep the faith.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!